Thank you, and God bless you this morning as we study the Word of God and pray and seek the face of the Lord. Woke up this morning with a song on my heart that says, He's a Savior to be proud of, bless His name. I like that. He's a Savior to be proud of, bless His name. For to rescue me to glory, Jesus came. He has died to set me free. Now His grace is keeping me. Oh, that unmerited favor of God that keeps us. Now, that doesn't keep us to do wrong. That keeps us from doing wrong. His grace is keeping me. He's a Savior to be proud of. Bless His name. Thank you, Lord. I thank the Father for sending His Son to this world, to this earth, to walk among men, that He might give Himself a ransom, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, praise God. Praise God. I'm thankful to be able to come again. I hope you've had a good week. I hope God has been good to you and His mercy has been flowing through you. I was thinking about Jesus, and I've shared this before, but how that He came among men. The Bible said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I love that song that I've quoted before. You know, He said, I thirst, but He made the rivers. And He said, I thirst, but He made the sea. He said, I thirst the King of the ages, but His thirst brought victory to me. Praise God, praise God. And I thought about how great God is, because we see we have to keep focus in this day in which we live. We have to keep our eyes on the prize, and we have to seek the face of the Lord. And I thought how great He is when the writer said he made the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, and then it just like a little extra it said, and He made the stars also. And they tell us there's thousands of stars that light the universe, and just as an afterthought, with all that God has done, all His greatness, it said, and He made the stars also. So I'm just thankful this morning that God is God, and He won't ever change. He is the Lord Almighty, and He reigns, and He lives. He's the Ancient of Ages, and we should rejoice and be glad because He, our Heavenly Father, watches over us. He makes the rose an object of His care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air, and surely He remembers you and me. My Heavenly Father watches over me. I just like to give you some words of inspiration or words of encouragement as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll get to a scripture in just a moment. I was planning on going back to where I was last week about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, and then I was going to talk about faith this morning, but God's put something else on my heart. And to begin with, it'll seem almost negative, but when you take the total picture, when you take the total story that I'm going to talk about, there's hope. See, there's hope and there's help. There's help on the way. There's help on the way. See, we have to have something to hold on to. We have to have something to anchor to. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the service this morning. We're going to have it Cathedral of Praise, 3529 Rehoboth Church Road, here in Greensboro, North Carolina, 10:30. If you're in the area, you're welcome to come worship with us. I thank God for the years that He's given us. We may not be the largest church, but we're doing something for God. I was touched this week as I saw a post on Facebook where a church with Pastor Jeff Hutchins, and we helped him get started, and he's got an outreach to where they preach under the bridge. All these homeless and people, they gather under a bridge, and they have church. And I saw where he had found a couple, a young couple. The woman was pregnant, but they were homeless and didn't have anywhere to sleep. And he went and bought them a tent and set it up in a place. Two things about that. First of all, if you've got a place to live today and you got a roof over your head, you ought to be thankful. And second, there's so many people that for various reasons are hurting. But I just thought, what if we had not been there? What if we had not been there? when he was discouraged and when he went through a transition in his life, because he had had a past, and if he had got too discouraged, he could have gone back to his past. But we were there for him to encourage him and to lift him up and help him get started and be an anchor. And I want to reach out and help him do some of the things he's doing. That's the reason I appreciate so much the people that stand with this ministry, with prayer and with their support, because it's important that we keep doing something. And I just appreciate the fact that, you know, I don't come on here and tell a sad story, or I don't come on here and offer this or that. But I hope you know that helping this ministry would be a blessing, and doing something for this ministry would help further the kingdom of God. You know, I give you a way to get a hold of us. I hope you've checked out our Cathedral of Praise Facebook page, if you can do that, or my personal page. But you can email me at raymwhittington@gmail.com. That's raymwhittington, raymwhittington@gmail.com. Or you can write me at Ray Whittington, P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. That's Ray Whittington, P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. I told you last week, I think it is, my grandson likes to get what they call snail mail now. My wife Glenda still sends out a lot of cards, and I find people are so appreciative of it. People will come to church and say, you're the only person that sent me a card for my birthday. See, we don't need to lose that personal contact with one another. But write me and send me your praise report, your prayer request, and slip a little something in there to help the kingdom of God. You'll be blessed, and the Lord will lift you up. I was thinking this morning, you know, and I don't mean to come with negative connotations, but almost everywhere we look around, people talk about this world being in trouble. This world, there's so much going on that is so contrary to the Word of God. There's so much going on that is wrong. It's just wrong. It's just wrong, some of the things that's happening, and sometimes if we're not careful, it's easy to get frustrated or wonder. But see, as I said before, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We used to sing a song, we're living in the days he speaks about, in the days of Matthew 24. I don't know if some of y'all ever remember that song or old enough to remember it, but we're living, truly living in the days he speaks about. The signs are around us everywhere. So let's get ready so we can meet him with a shout when we talk about Matthew chapter 24. You see, he said that these things would not come upon us who are believers unaware. He said that we're not of those of the night who sleep, but we are those who are the day that are awake. Now I don't believe in setting days and times, because he said no man knows the days of the hour. And when people do that, see, they almost bring a reproach on the kingdom of God, because you know, the gainsayers and the doubters, and the scoffers, they want to find fault with us anyway. And if they can see where we're looking, where we're walking in error, then they have that much more to say negative to us. And I've seen people prophesy dates. I was in Jamaica years ago when they were talking about Jesus, 88 reasons Jesus would come in 88. Well, this is 2016, so that's been a long time. And as I preached the other Sunday, he said, occupy till I come. But we were going to have a service, and the man I was over there with called some people, you know, that were in Jamaica on some missionary work to be in service with us. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. We're going to be on the telephone talking to our loved ones in the United States when the Lord comes. And I thought, you know, if I really believed that Jesus was coming, I'd want to be in the house of God. I mean, my, if you really believe that Jesus is coming, there's no greater place to be than with the saints of God in the house of God, worshiping the Lord, looking for His glorious appearing. Oh, yes, yes, and that's one thing that lets me know where people's heart is. And I know everybody can't get to church, but one of the things of coldness slipping in is when you no longer need the house of God. There's no media in the world that can take the place of the house of God. There's no my program this morning, if you're able to get up and go to the house of God, cannot take the place of you gathering together in like faith with people who love the Lord, because we're a body and we're His church. And I appreciate you listening to me, and I want you to, and I thank God for this means of being able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the more people than walk through the doors of Cathedral of Praise here in Greensboro. But oh, we're supposed to. He said I was glad when they said go, let us go to the house of the Lord. In fact, the Word of God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the days approaching, and those days are here. And you know, I don't mean to come across, as I've said, negative, but so much of the church is so-called church stuff. It's not church anymore. It's just not. We've got the cart before the horse. We go to church to worship the Lord. It's not about programs. It's not about entertainment. It's not about having fun. It's not about feeling good. I'm telling you, if you love the Lord and you do something that it is contrary to the Word of God, He said, whom the Lord loves, He chastises. And I'm going to get to my sermon in just a moment. But see, He said chastisements are not easy. But I'm thankful this morning that God chastises us. And it's not good when we have to be corrected. Somebody asked me one time, said, how do you know you're saved? I said, because He won't let me buy with a thing. He won't let me buy with a thing. I mean, I'm so thankful that God wants me to know His Word and wants me to live by His Word and wants me to walk in His Word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what the Word of God says. That's not Ray Whittington. That's not some preacher I read somewhere, but that's directly quoted from the Word of God. Of course, most people, don't accept the Word of God anyway, but it's like I told you before. People want the Word of God to become relevant to our age, but every generation has to be relative to the Word of God, because generations come and go. Kingdoms come and go. The United States is only a little over 200 years, and it looks like we're dying. I mean, there's nations that have existed for thousands of years, and we've been only existing for over 200 years, and it looks like we're dying because we have walked away from the God of our fathers, and we went from being the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation that there is, and. We have to understand. Somebody said, oh, you're preaching. No, I'm not preaching negative stuff. I'm preaching stuff that I would stand before God. I would stand before God if I got on this program or got up in church and saw what was going on and didn't warn you of it. The Bible said, woe to the shepherd that scatters the flock. I would stand before God and give an account if I didn't cry aloud, if I was not a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His path straight. Make straight paths for God. Make straight paths for God. Oh, I'm telling you, we need to seek the Lord. You know, I know I should probably tape these and make sure that I don't stutter and stammer around sometime. But this is the real world, people. This is where the rubber meets the road. And He said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I'm telling you, when we look around to see, there's some things that's going to happen. There's some things the Bible prophesies of some things that's going to happen, and there's not a lot that can be done about it, but we can delay some things, and we can be blessed in our own field. We can have our own harvest. Our personal land can be blessed, even in, when we live around unrighteousness all around us. Matthew chapter 24. I won't get nowhere near this today, but, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. That's what we've got caught up in. We measure success by the size of the buildings, or the number of attendants, or how much finances. That doesn't have a thing to do with the kingdom of God. But we get caught up in that, and so to have people, we lower the standard. We let down. We accept anything. Somebody said, come like you are. But you meet Jesus, you don't stay like you are. You don't stay like you are. In the Old Testament, when they went to the temple and the synagogue, they had to meet certain criteria. I know Jesus loves everybody. But I'm telling you, the night Jesus came into my heart, I left a different person, and nobody didn't have to tell me that there was a change, because the change came on the inside. In one instant, I became a new creature. Old things passed away, and all things become new. And then I got into a church where I could be discipled into growth in the kingdom of God. I worry about having these mass revivals and then just turning them loose. That's one thing about Billy Graham. You know, when he had his big crusades, he at least would have pastors who supported the meeting to have follow-up, because you can't have a baby and turn it loose and it live. It's got to be discipled. It's got to be trained. It's got to be taught. Nowadays when I see the youth ministries in most churches, it's more about play and it's more about partying than it is learning the Word of God. But see, what happens is we get caught up in this competition. We get caught up in what is supposed, you know, what we consider success. Can you believe? Listen to me this morning. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Not anything was made by Him. Everything was made, but not anything was made, but was made by Him, you know, and the Word was made flesh. In fact, God asked Job one time when he was talking to him, said, where were you when the morning stars when the songs were sung the first morning? Where were you when the foundations of the earth was laid? And here's the one that was with creation. Here's the one that was in the beginning, and they want to show him a building. The one who created the one who put the stars in their socket, the one who hung the moon and the sun and the stars, they wanted to show him a building that they had made. Well, thank God for the temple. Thank God for the temple. But I'm telling you, that's our arrogance today, that we think that we can impress God with buildings and with things that will deteriorate. God help us. The disciples wanted to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, verse 2, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus was prophesying there. And in AD 70, the temple was destroyed again, you see. You see, the things that are eternal are invisible. The things that are temple is things that you can see. What was it he said about us when we die? The dust goeth back to the earth as it was, but the spirit goeth to God who gave it. See, oh yes, he said, and as he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, we need to know, we want to know, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and end of the world? You know, there's a lot of signs, but they wanted to know the particular sign of the end of the world, of the end of the world. Now, you know, when I talk about that, some people listen to me and say, oh, that's some preacher, some simple-minded preacher But all they've got to do is look at the atomic clock that the scientists keep that say that because of the pandas and because of the nuclear capabilities and because of climate change, or if you believe in that or whatever, that we are only just a couple of minutes from midnight. People that don't even claim to know God, you know, they've got that doomsday clock. That's what they call it. You know, if we start talking negative stuff, people want to say, oh, something wrong with them. You know, they're just a bunch of doubters. But you know what the clock is called that the atomic scientists set about every year, or they move it a minute or two here and there, depending upon the crisis of the world? They call it the doomsday clock. That's what they call it. They call it the doomsday clock. And I have to almost apologize if I'm going to preach about something negative, because, you know, people say, well, you know, we want positive stuff. But I'm telling you, nuclear warfare starts, there won't be much of mankind left. And that's just the facts. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. And he said, what shall be the sign of thy coming? See, he will come again. Do I understand all the concepts of it? No. All I do is take him in his word, because he said he will come again. And when this world is in a mess, when this world is messed up, you know, people say, well, if there's a God, why is the world in a mess? It's because we sinned and a mess came. It wasn't God that did wrong. My, no, from the time man did wrong, God started making a way, a bridge to get back to him. That's what God's always wanted. He made us to love him, to serve him. Never forget, in a newspaper in the Greensboro area, a man asked that one time in an editorial page and said, if there's a God, why is the world in a mess? Well, the next week somebody broke into his apartment and trashed it. See, we're the ones that messed up. We're the ones. So many times we want to blame God. But he said he's going to make all things new. That's what he's going to do. Listen to me this morning. God's going to make all things new. Just like he can take a life. He can take a life and mold it and mend it and change it and make it anew. Oh, thank you, Lord. I know what he did in my life. I know what he did. I know what he did in my life. I've shared some of my story, but I was a preacher's son, and I'd seen so much in church. It wasn't like it ought to be, that my heart had become... come hard. But the writer said that he can take a heart of stone and mend it and mold it and make it his own. I sat in that church that night, and I didn't even want to be there. I won't go into all the details of my story today, but I didn't even want to be there. But then I heard a call. There was a voice called me from an old rugged tree, and it said, draw closer to me. So whatever it takes, would you listen to me this morning? Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. That's what I'm willing to do. That's what I'm willing to do. See, I haven't ever got over that voice. Oh, have I been disappointed? Sure. Have I been hurt? Sure. Have there been days when I didn't have? Sure. Have there been days when the heavens was brass? Sure. There's been days when I didn't have a song. But I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret a time I've trusted in his word. I've seen the years go by, many days without a song, but I don't regret a mile. I don't regret a mile. I travel for the Lord. Oh yes. I'm going to say that again. See, there was something that called me. There was something I heard him say, take up the cross and follow me. I heard the blessed Savior call, and how could I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus paid it all? I guess what I'm saying to you this morning, as I'm reaching the end of this service, is just don't get weary in well-doing, because you'll reap if you faint not. Just keep pressing on. Keep pressing in. Press on. Don't doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light. You know the experiences you've had with God. You know the times that God showed up. You know the hours that he came when you needed a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Oh, I heard the call, take up thy cross and follow me. I heard the blessed Savior call. How could I make a lesser sacrifice? I'll get to some of this other later on, but how could I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all?